Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 1, 2, 12, 14, and 16. Let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Or it could be translated like this, or because they were not united by faith to the word they heard. You can hear something and yet not hear it. It's only the word that you are united to by faith that's going to work for you. You can hear loud preaching, quiet preaching, funny preaching, somber preaching, short preaching, long preaching. But faith must be united with the word that you hear. You see, faith in God's word produces rest. 7 times in Hebrews 4, at least, you'll find rest. Faith in God's word not only produces rest, but it produces peace and patience while it's coming to pass. Now let's look at the further reading here. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents or the purposes of the heart. And then the final part of that chapter, seeing that we have a great high priest. Aren't you glad for that great high priest? That is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, literally confession, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain or receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How many know that your Bible is not only the best friend that you have, but you've got to believe what's in that book? Regardless of what anyone else has to say, you believe that book. The word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, I just went back to chapter 50. I call Isaiah my Old Testament pastor. If I ever have a slow day, I get back into Isaiah and I get so pumped, I'm telling you, it just builds up my faith in God. Isaiah chapter 50 through chapter 54 is God's way out of a mess to God's best. God's way out of a mess to God's best. You may be in a mess this morning, or if you listen to me, it'll keep you out of a mess. You'd be surprised how many of us on staff deal with people who are in a mess. It's happened this week like it happens every week. I mean, you wonder how people can get in such a mess before they come and say, help me. But that's okay. We have a reputation of loving people and reaching out to people. So this is God's way out of a mess to God's best, to chapter 55, and which puts the word together. In chapter 50, quick oversight, sin is not the end. Sin is not the end. Sin is not the end if there is repentance and returning unto God to do his way and to live life for God. Sin is not the end. Say it with me. Sin is not the end. See, there's some of you here this morning, the devil's saying your sin has ruined the rest of your life. Sin is not the end if you handle it God's way. Sin is not the end if there is repentance and returning to God to do his ways and to live life for him. In that same 50th chapter of Isaiah, verses 4-5, tell us, even when you've sinned and missed it, there is hope. There is hope. The 7th verse, we find there is help. Big time help from God. For the Lord God shall help me. I'll not be confounded. I've set my face like a flint, and I'll not be confounded. If you're on top of the barrel, you ought to be shouting this morning. But I'm going to tell you, if you came in here and you say, preacher, I'm going to try one more church. I'm on the bottom of the barrel. I'm looking up under the barrel. I'm in a mess. I need some help. You came to the right place. I'm sorry about your sin, but sin is not the end if you'll do what God said to do about it. If you'll turn your life to God, there is hope and there is help. The Lord God will help me. Going on to Isaiah 51, there is help if we listen and hearken. Listen and hearken. You know, I think we're really beginning to learn some things. In fact, here in Isaiah 51, verse 1, it said, hearken to me, ye that followeth after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. So how are we going to turn things around if we're in a mess? Well, we realize sin is not the end. There is hope. There is help. If, according to Isaiah 51, we listen, we seek, we look, and if we let God restore our wilderness and our waste places into a beautiful garden. You'll find all that in Isaiah 51, verse 1, verse 2, and going right on down to verses 3 and 7 and 8 and 9. Listen to me. I love to lay hands on people. Hey, this is a church where we lay hands on people. We like to see God just touch your life. But you can have faith to go out under the power and yet not do anything about the power that touched you. I mean, some people, they say, how do I have faith to go out under that power thing? Well, that's important. That's good. That's wonderful. But I'm concerned about you having living power. You get a hold of 220, something's going to move. But what this church is all about is not preaching the gospel of ought to, but preaching the gospel of how to. How you can live the life. How you can find Jesus. How you can turn your life around. Not the gospel of ought to, but the gospel of how to. And so according to this word, if we'll listen when we come to church, I'm just going to keep on pounding it. We were in Peter this morning. Peter said, as long as I'm preaching, I'm going to stir you up. And Peter said, I'm going to come back again and I'm going to stir you up. And Peter said, when I'm gone, I'm still going to stir you up. Peter said, my life is dedicated to teaching you present day truth and stirring you up and stirring you up and stirring you up until you get in or get out or get run over. You know what I'm talking about. Some people hear these financial praise reports and it just goes right over the head. And they'll come to you after the service and say, pray for my finances. Didn't hear a word that was said. The way out is you start listening to God's word. You read it. You listen to it. You meditate upon it. Hearken. Listen. Really listen. You know everything about everything. You know every storm that's supposed to come. You track everything that's happening. But when it comes to God's word, it just right over your head. I'm not being unkind, but folks, I'm going to tell you, if your life's in a mess, no man's the answer to getting you out of a mess. Somebody could write you a $10,000 check today and you'd be in a bigger mess next week than you are this week. Money is not your answer. Money is not your answer. Things are not your answer. It's listening. You may be devastated this morning, maybe coming out of the ravages of divorce or broken relationships or children or grandchildren, or you don't know what to do, or you're a young person that said, okay, I've graduated. Now what do I do with the rest of my life? Listen, really listen, and come unto me, the Lord says, and listen, and listen. And listen and seek the Lord and look to the Lord and let God turn your wilderness into a beautiful paradise, a well-watered garden. It will bring joy to your life and gladness to your life and thanksgiving to your life. All this is in the 51st chapter of Isaiah. The voice of melody or harmony where there's been disharmony. It says, quote, the voice of melody. Isn't that something? The voice of melody. We were blessed to hear young people of the greater Metroplex area, one of the finest orchestra presentations I've heard in a long, long time, down at Bass Hall just this last week. 100 instruments. You know what sounded so good? They not only knew how to play those instruments, but they were in tune. You know why so many people are so messed up? They've got all the answers, but they're out of tune. I mean, when the baton comes down and everybody's out of tune, you talk about mass pandemonium. I know I've played back in the school systems and so on, and I've been in those situations. We had one lady that led the orchestra when I was in junior high. I mean, she could spot anything in that whole stage that was off key, and she'd stop until she got every instrument tuned. And I'm sorry to tell you, there was so many honorings in there, by the time she got them all tuned, they had the rest of them out of tune. We didn't get much done that year. It was just like a dog chasing its tail, a sad thing. But anyway, if your life is going to have harmony, you've got to get in tune. Got to get in tune. And you know, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. What a powerful presentation. But you see, the violin didn't stand up and say, bless God, I think I'll play a little while. And then the oboe didn't stand up and say, bless God, I haven't had. And I noticed three or four that didn't get to play much during the whole, it seemed like the violins did a lot of playing. And there were certain instruments that I could just see, if this was a church service, someone stand and say, bless God, I hadn't got to play my instrument. And I'm going to play my instrument if it just stops the whole thing. I mean, you just pat those cymbals every once in a while, but if it happened all the time, it would just mess everything up. You see, there was harmony because everybody was watching the music. Everybody was on cue. They were a team. They were working together. They were a team. They were working together. In fact, they even had one or two assisting. Someone said that it came out in the right time. Everything on cue. That's what a life victorious is all about. It's a life that is in harmony with Jesus and a life that is in harmony with the Word of God. It's a life that's tuned daily according to the Word of God. Not tuned according to the television, not tuned according to the newspaper, not tuned according to whatever. But when we get up in the morning, we say, Lord, tune my instrument. Let my instrument play a harmonious sound. The voice of melody, it's a voice of harmony. No more discord. And we'll not be afraid of the reproach of evil men, for God will strengthen us and bless us. All this is in Isaiah 51. Then we went to Isaiah 52. It's time to do what? We're on the way to 55. We found out that sin is not the end. We found out that we can turn things around by listening and seeking God. Now in Isaiah chapter 52, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to put on God's strength. It's time to put on our beautiful garments of righteousness, peace and joy and strength and provision. It's time to wake up. I had the most exciting experience this last week. Our grandson spent a night with us. And of course, you know, they always want to stay up and do this and do that and do whatever. And so I got up 2 hours early. I thought, it's going to take me 2 hours to put him on the rack, threaten him. In fact, I didn't know what I was in for. I just allotted 2 straight hours just to get his attention, you know, before I was driving to school. And I walked upstairs and I said, it's time to get up. He just jumped out of bed. I thought, this is too easy. Something's missing in this picture. Well, I said, you need to take a bath. He said, I took one last night. And he did. He really did. I know he did that. He just jumped up out of that bed. I said, I'll have your breakfast ready in a minute. And he was down there in about 5 minutes. What do you need? Bowl of cereal, banana. Got something put on it. Yum, yum, yum. This is too easy. He ate the cereal. And I said, now how much time you going to need to get? He said, oh, I'll be ready in about 5 minutes. Well, I'm not even ready myself now. I just felt like I died and gone to heaven. I mean, I'm totally in charge of this project. And I say, get up. And he gets up. He eats and he gets ready. And I thought, well, wait till Joy finds out. When God says wake up, wake up. Get up. It's time to put on God's strength. All of this is in Isaiah chapter 52. It's time to put on the beautiful garments of righteousness, peace and joy and strength. It's time for God to deliver us from the uncircumcised, those that are not in covenant, the unclean, the sinful. You know what's happening in finances? God is delivering people from this world system. Delivering people from those that are not in covenant relationship with God. Time to shake thyself. You know, there's a little thing about business that you need to learn. Who you're dealing with is what your deal's going to be. Be not unequally yoked together. As one said, if you don't pray going in, you'll pray to get out. Shake yourself, rise up, and know that God's getting us out of situations where people are not in covenant. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, really is serving God. If you're going into a partnership, you better be sure your partner tithes faithfully, consistently. And be sure that there's something there that honors God. It's time to rise up and sit down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Time to loose thyself from the bands on our neck, it said. All this is in Isaiah 52. Man, I'll tell you what, it said, loose thyself. Yeah, God gave you power and authority over all the power of the enemy. You say, I don't like what's happening in my life. Stand up and take authority over it. That's one reason why we so often lead inquirers coming forward. Satan, take your hands off my life. I belong to God now. It's time to loose thyself from the bands on our neck. You know, we come to church and want the preachers to loose us. There's a loosing you can do yourself. You're a believer. You have power. You have authority. In fact, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. There's some things you don't need hands laid on you for. You just talk to the devil and give him what for, and give him God's word, and stand up and say, this is not going to happen anymore in this house. Tired of this thought. I'm tired of this weakness. I'm tired of this. It's time to stay united, to stay in joy. Verses 8 and 9. Stay in faith. Stay clean. I'm going to tell you, friends, if there was ever an hour when it's going to pay to live clean and stay clean, it's in this day and hour. But I'm for getting people set free and kept free and living a life of freedom and deliverance. It's time to stay in peace. The whole 52nd chapter of Isaiah, it's just time to wake up. It's time to stay in peace. Live clean. Verses 11 and 12. And behold, my servant shall deal in prosperity. You see what God's saying? If you wake up and put on God's strength, put on the beautiful garments of righteousness, shake yourself. Shake yourself a little bit. Can you shake yourself a little bit? Shake yourself. He said, behold, my servant shall deal prosperously or in prosperity. And then going to chapter 53, you got to believe all this. How many understand that? You got to believe it. Now notice in chapter 53 is, you got to believe it. Who hath believed the true report? Got to believe it. Surely, surely he hath borne our griefs, our sorrows, surely. Now let's look at chapter 54. Just giving quick oversight here. After decrease comes increase. After loss, if your faith is on the line, comes victory. After decrease comes increase. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time God may exalt you. So as I look in Isaiah 54, oh, I love this chapter. It talks about breaking forth into singing, because increase is on the way. Oh, I just see Isaiah 54 say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Come into your city, come into your house, the blessings of the Lord. Growth on the right hand and on the left. Our seed shall come forth and harvest. Desolate cities shall be inhabited. You know, really, the city that we're pastoring in was a desolate city, 1976. There just wasn't much going on downtown. It wasn't a whole lot going on in other parts of the town. But just look at what God's doing today. Desolate cities shall be inhabited, verse 3. Verse 4, the shame of the past is past. Then in Isaiah 54:10, God's covenant of peace. Oh, I'll tell you, God's peace will stand when mountains fall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All of our children, verse 13, shall be taught of the Lord. I believe it's the Amplified that said, all thy children shall be disciples taught of the Lord, obedient unto God's word and will, and great shall be their undisturbed peace and composure. Great shall be thy peace. I just don't know what's going to happen to our children. I'll tell you what's going to happen to our children. Great shall be their undisturbed peace and composure. They're disciples taught of the Lord. That's my confession. What is yours? The word of God goes on saying, verse 14, in righteousness we're going to be established. We're going to be far from oppression. Everywhere you look, you see oppression, oppression, depression, gloom, doom, misery. But the promise of God's word is, get a hold of the word of God. You'll be far from oppression. Far from oppression. It's real. Depression's real. Oppression's real. But God said you'll be far from it. Never will forget the seminar I attended on stress and burnout in the ministry. And I found out that I'd gone through the 7 steps of burnout 3 different times, but I didn't know how to participate, so I didn't do it. I'm sitting there and it dawns on me, these 7 steps, I've been through these 7 steps 3 times. I should be a basket case by now. But I just didn't know how to participate. They didn't give me the how to. You know what kept me? Chapters like Isaiah 54. Peace of God which passes all understanding, Philippians said, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, let me tell you, you hide that word in your spirit, and when all hell breaks loose, something inside of you will hold you and protect you and strengthen you. When people are coming apart at the seams, there's a supernatural strength of God that's built into your mind, built into your spirit. It's not that we're great, but we've given room for the greater one. It's kind of like school. You don't rush out and cram for the finals the night before if you haven't done any studying all semester long. But thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thank God there is mercy and there is grace, but I'm telling you folks, the way to stay strong is just to feed on the word and meditate on the word and rejoice in the word and live the word and sow the word and sing the word and meditate the word. And then when the enemy comes, it'll just be a breeze. Well, at least it won't be like it would be otherwise, because there's a strength. You get strong before the storm. You get strong before the storm. And then he said, no weapon, no enemy that comes against us shall prosper. I'm going to tell you Isaiah 54:17, just be sure you're right. That's all I can say. That's the only disclaimer. Just be sure your spirit's right and your heart's right. And if you've been wrong, you can get right and God will still bring you out. I said, if you've been wrong, you can get right and God will still bring you out. I said, if you've been wrong, you can get right and God will still bring you out. No weapon that's formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue. But Brother Nichols, you don't know what they're saying about me. Well, is it true? That stopped a lot of that conversation. Is it true? Well, if you know your heart's right and you know your face right, that means there's what they're saying about you. Don't you remember what we used to say in school? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Something like that. Well, I want you to know, if you're in Christ Jesus, words won't break your bones and they won't stop you. The dogs bark, but the caravan moves on. And I want you to know there's a move of God going on across this land. I couldn't tell you how many times in 35 years of pastoring, someone come and say, well, it's all over. They're all leaving. And I have a decision to make. I can get all upset and get all bummed out and get all stressed out and probably could burn out if I knew how to do it. Or I can just stand up and say, maybe something's wrong, maybe something's not wrong. If something is wrong, God can fix it. And if nothing's wrong, there's no sense in me worrying about it. So I'm going to put this thing in God's hands. If there's something I can do about it, I'll do that. If there's something I can do to help things in the right direction, I'll do it. But I can't run to every little fire. I can't run to every little I can't, you know, I just can't do it. God called me to do the main thing, keep the main thing the main thing. And if I'm going to be worth something on Sunday morning, I've got to keep the main thing the main thing. And I tell you, if your heart's right, And even if you've been wrong, if you'll get right, God will bring you out on the high side of victory. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you, you'll show to be in the wrong. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of Him. I've just got one thing to say. If you can destroy Jesus, you can destroy me. Don't waste your time. If you run Jesus out of town, you can run me out of town, but don't waste your time. How does God's word work for you? Well, you got to get hungry and thirsty. Did you ever try to feed a child that wasn't hungry? You give them spinach and it's all over the kitchen. But when they're hungry, they'll eat, right? When you're hungry, you'll eat some strange things. You'll open cans that you'd never eat out of. Might have wished you hadn't, but you thought it was a good idea to begin with. You must get hungry and thirsty. This is the way revival comes. This is the way victory comes. This is the way God settles disastrous situations in our life. Get hungry and thirsty for God and for God's word. And then you got to come to the Lord. You must come to the Lord. You come to Him and you listen to Him when you come. Brother Hagin told us one time, a young man whose life was in total disaster moved heaven and earth to get a conference with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin gave him 2 hours. He said the young man talked for 2 hours and left his office. Missed the whole point. Brother Hagin never, he's just like that. He'll sit there and twiddle his thumbs. Yep. He won't say a word. You see, the young man needed wisdom. He's at the seat or the feet of wisdom, and all he does is spout off what got him in the mess he's in. You know, folks, we're going to have to listen. God has the answer to your dilemma. God has the answer to what's happening in your life. God has the answer. God has the way out. God can stop the lion's mouths. God can quench the violence of fire. But you got to hearken. You must hear. You must listen. Really listen. And then you must have faith in the word that God speaks. And then you've got to water the seed. Water the seed and reap a harvest. You know, the bottom line of it is this. God said, so shall my word be. So shall my word be. So much in this world that's changing. Everything's changing. What isn't changing? But God said, so shall my word be.